speak, or that are just here and had questions. I don't know. Taking the liberty to go through them, there's like there's three of them here, one from Bonnie Coleman, one from Dan Rappel, and one from Nick. The way we're going to do this is we have a lot of people. We have people that are passionate on both sides. When you come up, please identify yourself. We're going to try to hold you to 2 minutes because in order to get through this with all the people for your comments, all right?
You know what, Wayne? Excuse me. A lot of people, like myself, spend a lot of time going through all this, doing a lot of homework to prepare comments here for everybody's benefit. And not to publish the rules of the game beforehand, and I've been to a lot of these things, I've just been to a whole bunch of them in Cairo, and to be honest, it really pisses me off that you're really taking a large step to eliminate public comment when people have spent their valuable time to analyze this and talk about it with other people. And then we get here, the rules are never announced ahead till we get here and we find we have 2 minutes, 5 minutes.
How many minutes do you want, sir?
I want as many as it takes. That's what I want.
2 minutes. As long as it takes.
2 minutes.
You can have mine.
Look, I don't want to get it. Listen, I started this meeting tonight by saying we're doing something we don't normally do at a regular legislative meeting.
Yes.
And that is offering public comment.
I would think that would be the first thing you want to have, public comment. I think that's the most important thing about
it. I do. That's why we're allowing it.
Is the public comment. Yes, exactly.
Okay. I'll tell you what, sir. You can come first.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, is it time?
Yes.
All right.
Good.
Thank you.
Please, everybody who comes to the mic, identify themselves for the record.
My name is Peter J. Rickey. I'm a lifelong resident of Greene County. Together with my wife, Jane, a business owner for the past 32 years. And since listening to the presentation, I would also add I'm an individual investor and a former NASD registered rep. That means I can buy and sell stocks. I would also like to preference, just by saying quickly, what this gentleman said about the dollar multiplier rule, dollars spent and invested, et cetera, that was also the federal government's justification for the stimulus. How's that all working for you all? Although I'm not here speaking on its behalf, I'm also a member, past president, and vice president of the Greene County Hospitality and Tourism Association. I would also like to preface my remarks by saying I do have respect for the members of the Greene County Legislature and IDA and count many of them as friends and business associates. I also have no doubt that they are collectively doing what they think is best for the people of Greene County. However, Ronald Reagan made a statement during his term as president about the 10 words that Americans should fear the most. They are as follows, and I quote, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you," end quote. If the job of government at any level is about anything, it is to ensure a fair, level playing field for all. Isn't that what laws and regulations are all about? By assessing all of us for what is our fair share of tax duty for the services that government provides, and then to turn around and have someone else, an outside entity no less, pay something less than existing residents and businesses, is not fairness. This is called payment in lieu of taxes, or a pilot, P-I-L-O-T. This is a direct government subsidy to a private business. The excuse is that this new project will provide more benefit to the taxpayers. Really, according to who? Why, the entity asking for the tax break, of course. That is what the 200 plus page proposal is all about. Guesses. Wouldn't we all like to pay less taxes and have more money to pay off our mortgage and other debt? Yet this benefit isn't extended to us who have lived here and supported our communities for many years, if not for most or all of our lives. And make no mistake, if you rent, you still pay taxes. as your landlord must extract a certain amount of rent money from you each month to pay his or her taxes. The interim IDA director denies that the county will be funding any part of the project except the infrastructure. Infrastructure, as stated, is generally water, sewer, and maybe roadways to existing highways.
2 minutes is up.
We want to talk.
I was told I had to talk. All of my clients who've done projects have had to pay for these items themselves. Matter of fact, in Caro, two banks and a McDonald's were put in, and they paid for their own water and sewer. They didn't ask anybody for a pilot. They didn't ask anybody for money to supplement them to have the project completed. The idea presented here, because I've done a lot of homework on this, because economics is my hobby, unfortunately. I'm a lonely man. The idea that if you build it, they will come is a fallacy. The Wall Street Journal, I believe a year ago, did a study of six projects done on the East Coast. And if you want to drive to one is in Syracuse, where they renovated downtown, they spent all kinds of taxpayer money. Guess what? Nobody came. And that would be my question to you. What if nobody comes? There was talk of borrowing money to pay for all of this. This puts the taxpayers of Greene County directly at risk for any loans. For the non-bankers in the room, bonding means loans, and somebody is responsible for paying those, which is all of us. Does any of this sound familiar? Read the paper. This is part of our problem today. Again, this is a direct government subsidy to a private entity. We have all heard the term corporate welfare, and this is it. I would like to talk about the impact of the project. This project will compete directly with our existing hotels, motels, restaurants, and, oh yes, our existing water park. Page 43, as Patty Handel pointed out, talks about this. And you gotta remember, folks, this isn't I'm not Dorothy, this isn't Kansas. They're trying to present a rosy picture to you here, and they've already admitted, I'm not gonna reread Patty's comments, that this is going to impact local resorts and hotels. Some may never recover, what they call the undermanaged properties, whatever that means. Statistics are interesting. I was also a science teacher and major in college, so statistics are interesting things, and I'll leave that at that for now. What all this means is that the County of Greene is promoting and subsidizing a taxpayer risk and expense, a new outside entity, that will hurt, if not destroy, existing businesses that receive no subsidies and pay full taxes. Perhaps if infrastructure, water and sewer was put in East Durham, where the Aragonas Zoom Flume just put their new wave pool, we could have got all kinds of stores and things there too by that logic. Does this sound fair, right, or moral to any of you? Local businesses are actually paying taxes to put themselves out of business. Our government is saying that they know better than we do how to spend our hard-earned money and which businesses will be successful and which won't. Government is picking the winners and losers, and we heard some of that tonight. This is not only immoral, it violates the basic principle of market-based economics. Do some reading, Google public-private partnerships on the internet and see what you come back with. Government is picking winners and losers. If this were a successful strategy, the Soviet Union would have been the most successful nation on Earth instead of falling into pieces. My NBA daughter really liked that one. We have seen nationally the collapse of the solar panel Solyndra, which the federal government backed at taxpayer expense to the tune of $500 million. Also, if you care to read any financial publications, we have the John Corzine, the former New Jersey governor, situation where that also fell apart. There is talk of corruption with respect to that as well. There are many other examples of this situation. Again, I encourage you to Google it and do some homework. There are existing businesses that Greene County has backed financially with loans, et cetera, that are in default, many that have defaulted in the past. There have been accusations of corruption with respect to the past IDA director. Financial concerns have been raised about the viability of the company proposing this project. And I just want to respond to this lady, who was talking about the financial loss that Wolf has suffered with respect to depreciation. Depreciation means stuff wears out. And the reason you're allowed to deduct depreciation is, oh yeah, when it wears out, you have to replace it. And particularly in the hospitality and tourism business, that's important. If you notice McDonald's and any of the chain stores or hotels you visit, every so often they replace it all. That's why. To do that, you need money. There is something called EBITDA, which was mentioned. It's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Let me explain that. Interest, we all pay interest on credit cards, mortgage interest, okay, right? All of us do. Taxes, we all know what those are. We're gonna be paying those pretty soon. Amortization, okay, loans, mortgages, we pay off, those are all real costs. There's a lot of financial analysts that say, well, that doesn't mean anything. A lot of them are poor right now. All of us know those are real costs. Real investors and real analysts take those into consideration. Ergo, if you don't make any money, you're not gonna be around for too long, and you're not gonna be able to revitalize your property. Making money, and there are bankers, and I see accountants here, can tell you that. If this is in fact, oh, by the way, yes, American Airlines just defaulted. We were talking, she also mentioned how Wolf was on the leading edge of the hospitality industry. The hospitality industry in this economy is hurting badly. And I use as an example the American Airlines bankruptcy. There's a lot of hotel chains that have gone bankrupt, et cetera, et cetera. So being on the leading edge of a business in trouble, in my opinion, as an investor and or as an amateur analyst, doesn't mean a whole lot. If this is in fact a marketable, financially sound project, then the owners should secure their own financing from bankers or other financial sources. They're experts in this area and are willing to risk their own money and resources. No governmental entity, including the County of Greene, should be backing a private project, and I mean this across the board for government, in any way, nor putting taxpayers at risk financially, nor selecting one business to succeed over another. This is not economically sound, it encourages corruption, and it is blatantly immoral.
My name is Bill Carr. I'm a resident of the town of Durham. I'm also on the Durham Town Board. My name is Bill Carr. I'm a resident of the town of Durham, and I'm also on the Durham Town Board. And I'm only going to take a few minutes. I spent most of my career in the pharmaceutical industry, and during that career, I had the good fortune to do diligence on some very large acquisitions and also drug evaluations. So I have a little bit of experience in this area, but I'm certainly not an accountant. Really, very quickly, when we talk about the marketing feasibility study, the comments around that have been glowing. They've almost been biblical in terms of the way people are looking at that as a strong suggestion of success. First half of my comments take about a minute. Relative to that, the opening comments from the hotel and leisure folks are, we don't warrant that the estimates will be attained, but they have been conscientiously prepared and based on our experience. There's some huge assumptions though, and nobody touched on those tonight. The first thing is that their study, relative to the feasibility of this entire site, assumes that the adjacent retail development will be developed within 1 year of the opening of the subject resort. That seems like a major issue to me. Two, they don't perform, nor do they warrant, appraisal of any of the accounting-related issues associated with Great Fox. Now, that may be mitigated because the Marr people are going to be involved now, and I assume they have separate financials and ability to raise funds that I wasn't aware of when I wrote this. Third, The estimated results are based on competent and efficient management of the hotel and an aggressive marketing program. So just keep all that in the back of your mind for a minute. Basically, we have a very optimistic estimate of how this facility might perform given certain conditions. And it might. And it might not. I think the real elephant in the room, though, and again, I wrote this before I heard some of the financial comments, is that I don't know how many of you folks have looked at the Securities and Exchange Commission 10-K on Great Fox. And again, this may be mitigated because of Mars. Great Wolf, thank you. I had made at least one significant mistake to show humility. Okay, Great Wolf. And the 10-K is a very informative document. If the legislature hasn't read it, it's 124 pages from the year 2010. I would strongly, strongly, strongly recommend that if you do nothing else, you look at the 10-K. There are other filings. The information in there is extremely interesting and paints a slightly different picture than the one that you perhaps received tonight. Now, I hope that this can be successful, but I hope it can be successful based on going into this with our eyes wide open as opposed to receiving kind of selective information. And that's the way this strikes me tonight. And that's fine. This is meant to be almost a marketing presentation. But they have a long history of serious financial losses. We've touched on that. I don't know, we haven't mentioned that the underperforming facilities either are foreclosed on or auctioned off at a great loss. There have been two of those in the past few years. At least one of the facilities has been placed under a lockbox procedure. It just means to me that there may be some little cash flow problems. The money that comes into that site every day goes into a lockbox every night because the lender is a little concerned they've missed a few of their key ratios. It's not bankruptcy, but it means that there's a certain amount of concern and that these folks have some issues. And I'm sure this can all be answered. Recently, these folks negotiated a $200+ million second mortgage. I don't know if that's the right term, at a rate of almost 11% interest. That would reflect to me some, again, credit concerns in the market. So I could go on and I could talk about impairment charges that they're undergoing, stock valuation, but my takeaway at the end of this is that based on my limited knowledge, this is kind of a troubled operation. Maybe I'm missing something. I couldn't find a plan to return to true profitability anywhere in that 10-K. That's a little surprising. I couldn't determine how individual facilities, especially the Pocono facility, perform. That's been held up as a model. I would love to see that that's extremely profitable. I have no idea how long Great Wolf can sustain itself as an ongoing business entity. And why should we care? One more minute. Well, dealing with a financially desperate operation, and maybe they're not, and maybe I am misrepresenting this, and I hope to God I am, is risky, it's difficult, and it affects every decision that a company makes and every action they take. And it would make me wonder how they'll interact with the county. Will they look for additional concessions a year or two or three down the road? Will they be subjected to some form of a takeover, friendly or unfriendly, by unknown parties during or shortly after construction? Will we be left with a half-completed hulk? I don't really know. I can't answer any of the questions. I don't expect that they're going to get answered tonight. But I would pray that the folks in the legislature at least read the 10-K, take a long, hard look, and ask some of these questions so that at the end of the day, all of us in Greene County can breathe a little bit easier. I personally, if the information is favorable, I'll be more than happy to support this, but I'm having trouble gleaning that kind of a favorable response from the information I've seen so far. Thank you.
Of the town of Coxsackie. I have a question, and I don't really care who. I have a question. I don't really care who answers it. One of the things
Spoken
that
one of your allotted time, I guess. I don't know.
And one of the things that public benefit corporations in New York State have is the power to bond. As a matter of fact, they've done it a lot. I believe in the last report of the New York State Comptroller on public authorities that he noted that 94% of the public debt of the state of New York was held by public benefit corporations, public authorities, without voter approval. The Green IDA was formed to do economic development, and I note from reviewing minutes of past meetings that, for example, a bond of $3,750,000 was already floated for Cottburn Commerce Park. And I think that date was back on November 18th, 2004. So it's obvious that the IDA can issue their own bonds. And I've asked the question of Eric, and he gave me a pretty good answer, and I would like to ask the question of anyone else who would like to answer. Why is the county issuing the bonds and not the IDA?
I think I've already answered the question, but in terms of, you know, the IDA, we've been told we don't have the ability to place a $15 million bond. 3.7 we've paid off in terms of our Commerce Parks are open. But the question is really, I think, why is the county issuing it? And I think what the issue is, and I tried to kind of relate to it, is that if we're able to get this, and we're still going to explore whether the IDA can issue it, the interest rate's gonna be significantly higher, and therefore it'll be less of public EISF. I think it's an issue of risk reward, and the from what I'm understanding, maybe Jeff might want to answer this question, but the issue is the risk associated with it, and there's already $150 million in project financing being raised. The question is how much more you can support it. 100% financing is difficult. And then remember what we're financing. We're financing public improvements. We're not building their project. We're putting an investment in infrastructure, which is a public commitment. It's not their obligation to pay for it.
Excuse me very much, but you did not answer my question. My question was, given the fact that the IDA can bond, given the fact that they have bonded in the past for infrastructure development, why is it that the IDA is not doing the bonding? Why are you asking the county to do the bonding?
I think I just answered the question. I think I answered the question.
Amanda Spurtis? Do you have a question? Amanda here? Is it Amanda? Mando. Diane Lewis?
Diane Lewis from New Baltimore, longtime Greene County resident, and I'm not a naysayer. I thank the IDA for all their work, and the former IDA, and the local elections, local governments, and the former local elections. And I think it's a great idea, and family entertainment should come to Greene County. And I have something that I'd like to add for future things. I think Made in New York store would be good in the same place. Similar to Vermont, Made in Vermont stores would be good. So I'd just leave that and I say full steam ahead.
Joe Salvino? Joe here?
I'm not good talking in front of people, so I apologize for this. I need more of an answer to Mr. Feaster's question. We have someone in Coxsackie who's developing his own property. You know, we want to know what would be the tax payment if it was, not if it's vacant land, but if it was developed without the pilot. So we would know, you know, are they paying 10% of what they would normally pay, as everyone else is paying 100%, or are they paying 80% of regular taxes? Is that something that someone could come up with?
Definitely. I mean, it's not something you can just throw out, but definitely it could be figured out. Absolutely.
Thank you.
What was the answer?
The answer is we don't have an answer, we're going to get one.
What's the amount of the abatement?
Right. How much? I think the question that Chris asked was, how much, if given all the factors that Joe Blow was building this, what would his assessment be? What would his tax rate be without a pilot program? All right. Joe, we'll get an answer for you. Because there's a lot of things, factors in there, what the assessment would be and all that. So, Jan Perlin? Sorry, Jen? Okay.
Hi, I'm a resident of Greene County. And I mostly have some procedural questions. I'm not gonna get into the economics, but I think that it's pretty clear here that people are concerned about incurring this kind of debt in the county. And maybe also concerned about what other things are being done by the IDA to help other areas of the county, people who are already here to develop. I noticed Mid-Hudson Cable is a partner a little bit, that you'll get internet to this place, but there's places in Greene County that don't have that, and Mid-Hudson Cable's not willing to come in without charging a real lot of money. They don't seem to be doing it here. So, and after tonight, I'd like to know how the information is going to be circulated, how this discussion can be continued, how people can be apprised of the decision-making process and what's going on, and keep having an influence on their legislators, who obviously, or appear to have a role, I'm not quite sure what the role is, in approving or not approving this indebtedness that the project is asking this county to take on. And I think, you know, it's an important question to ask. I know projects usually don't have 100% financing. I know it costs more for the IDA. Or somebody else to float the bond than it does for the county, but that's because you're counting on